yesterday. Felt like we had a good day yesterday, amen. And I thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. And I do thank you, brethren, that have come to be with us here tonight. It's a great honor that you would come be with us, amen. And we appreciate it, amen. And we need each other in these days, amen. Need one another, amen. And I don't know about people that say, well, I just isolate myself from everybody. Well, I know sometimes you may have to stay away from certain people, but isolation is not too good, amen. Just isolate yourself, amen. But I'm glad, amen, to be here tonight. He mentioned that street preaching. You know, I found this out. I want to say this tonight. This may put a damper on the meeting when I say this. You know, I'm afraid tonight that a lot of, you know, God gave us the Holy Spirit when he saved us. He put the Holy Spirit within our heart when he saved us. You know, I don't care what the Pentecostals say. Pentecostals say, well, you got to speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost. That ain't in here. Amen. That ain't nowhere in here. Amen. And but God did give us a spirit called the Holy Spirit, and it's in us when he saved us. It birthed us into the family of God. Why did he give us that spirit? We know in John 14 and John 16, he gave it for a comforter. Right. The word comforter is a parakletos, the one that go long aside us. Right. But in Acts 1:8, he also gave us that spirit for a purpose. And that purpose is to be a witness. Right. He said, when you be endued with power from on high, you shall be witnesses unto me. You say, preacher, have I got to be a preacher to be a witness? No, if you are a Christian to this tonight, you should be a witness. You should, amen, it should be inbred in you, amen, to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? When I got saved, I first went on my first visitation with my pastor, and I remember this. I didn't know a lot of verses. He was over there talking to a guy, but I had something bubbling up in me that I wanted to say. Man. You know, Paul didn't say a lot of verses when he went around, but my friend, you know what he did tell? He told about the Damascus Road every time he got knocked off that beast where God saved him. But I'm here to say this tonight. I say this about the Holy Spirit. You know, I know we need the Holy Spirit in the house of God. We need it for liberty to preach. We need it for the Lord's presence. But I'm afraid a lot of times that's the only place we want it. God give us the Holy Spirit not just to be inside these four walls. If you'll study the book of Acts, my friend, the reason they had those miracles and they saw God's power is when they went outside the church, amen, went into the highways and hedges and carried the gospel. They saw God do miraculous things. Can I say tonight, my friend, I love street preaching. That's what I do now. You got a church now, Brother Doug? No. Amen. I don't have a church, but I ain't got to have a church to preach. I got a commandment, amen. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm worried about these preachers that are sitting around, amen, and they're waiting on the pastor to get sick, amen. They're waiting on the pastor to give them a day to preach. Hey, if you're called to preach, amen, you'll have something inside of you. You'll find you a nursing home. You'll find you a jail. You'll find you a street corner, amen. I feel like that went over like a rock, amen. But I tell you what, it's the truth. I worry about preachers that say they called to preach and they ain't preached in 6 months, and when they get up, they ain't got nothing to say. There's something wrong with that picture. Amen. Well, that went over. Just felt like God wanted me to say it, though. Amen. 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 Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be here in the house of God. And Lord, we ask you to help us tonight. Ask you, Lord, to touch us, give us liberty. And God, that you would lead us and guide us, Lord, by the Holy Ghost in this service tonight. Help us, Lord, not to do anything, not to say anything, Lord, that'll quench you, that'll, amen, damper this service. But help us, Lord, to say everything that you want us to say tonight. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to please, Lord, have your precious will and way. God, we ask you to lead us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 4 this evening. 2 Kings chapter number 4, amen, where I believe the Lord have us to go tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 4, starting with verse number 8, and we'll read down through verse, amen, verse number 17. 2 Kings chapter number 4, starting with verse number 8, down through verse number 17. Everybody found your place? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. And the Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where there was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi's servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he had said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host? And she answered, And I dwell among my own people. And he said, When then is to be done for her? And the Gehazi answered, Verily she had no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. I want to preach on this subject tonight, helping the man of God. Helping the man of God. Can I say tonight, my friend, the Bible says here, we know about Elijah, the man of God that passed by this young man one day called Elijah. And Elijah, the Bible says about Elijah, that Elijah poured water on the hands of the man of God. Can I say tonight, my friend, that God puts a man of God in your life? I said a little bit about this last night. My friend, when you get saved by the grace of God and God puts you into the house of God, I believe that God links your heart, amen, with that man of God. Can I say tonight, my friend, that every person, I like my pastor used to say this, amen, amen, you need a pastor, amen, in your life. Can I say tonight, my friend, the man of God is not your enemy. The man of God outside the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is your best friend on this earth. You say, preacher tonight, what do you mean about helping the man of God? Could I say, if we just look through the Bible tonight in the book of Acts, I want you to turn there with me. In Acts chapter number 6, we'll see this tonight. Acts chapter number 6, verses 1 through 7. Just have an open Bible tonight, amen. Acts chapter number 6, verses 1 through 7 tonight. We'll see what the Bible has to say there. And the Bible says, In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, Ghost and wisdom who we made a point over this business. I'm going to inject something right here to make hair lip some of you. Amen. A lot of deacons think that verse right there means that it put them over the business of the church. It don't mean that. In the context of that verse, it means that that business was waiting on tables. That business was being a servant, amen, to the house of God. Amen. He says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And you go down, my friend, in verse 7. And the Bible says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Can I say tonight, my friend, the men of God across this country tonight, and your pastor tonight, they need help, amen. And can I say this tonight? The Bible also says about Moses in the book of Exodus, my friend. Moses was up there praying, and Joshua was in the valley there. And my friend, when Moses prayed, amen, the battle was won. But when Moses got weary, my friend, and his hands fell down, thank God there was two men called Aaron and Hur that went aside along with the man of God, and they lifted up his hands, amen. And when they saw, hey, they didn't have to pray about it. I believe Hur said, did you see that? When the man of God's hands were up, amen, there was power and there was liberty and the battle was won. But he said, you see that? When his hands were down, there was no victory and there was no power. Can I say this tonight? There was two men called Joshua and Caleb. And my friend, God had told Moses to take, amen, the people into the promised land. My friend, I believe Moses got himself in trouble because he should have never took a vote on it. Amen. You say, well, I believe I'll vote on everything. And no, it ain't time to vote on everything, because if God tells the man of God to do it, amen, you just follow the man of God as he follows God. I see some of y'all looking at me real bug-eyed in here. Can I say this tonight, my friend? Caleb and Joshua, that nevertheless crowd, came back and tried to put a damper on the man of God and said, look, we can't do this because we ain't never done this before. Can I say tonight, my friend, that Joshua and Caleb saw that the man of God needed help. Can I say about Gideon, my friend, in the book of Judges, chapter number 7, Gideon had 32,000. But you know what God did to Gideon? He knocked his church down from 32,000 to 300, amen. And you know what? He still told Gideon, he said, I want you to pick you out some men, amen, that's ready for this work. And the Bible says, they went down to drink water. My friend, those men that drank water, they didn't just have their eyes on the water when they drank water. They also had their eyes on the work. Amen. Can I say this tonight, my friend? And I'm not beating nobody in here. There's people in there that's helping. I'm just trying to preach what God laid on my heart tonight. I see people laboring around here. I see people doing a lot of stuff. But can I tell you something, a friend and I know it's from a pastor. A pastor can't do it all. A pastor needs some help. He needs somebody to go alongside of him and help him. So we look at this woman tonight. The Bible says here, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunem, and there was a great woman. Can I say about the character of this woman tonight? The Bible says that she was a great woman. First of all, I want to say that this woman tonight was great in her spirituality. Can I say tonight, my friend? And let me say something about this text. Don't think tonight that this woman is some woman that's out there trying to be the leader of her home and trying, you know, she's trying to be out of her place. Oh, no, she's not out of her place. But God's trying to put the limelight on this woman to show us, amen, the greatness of her character. Can I say about her spirituality? First of all, she said, that she said it fell on a day. Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said to her husband, "Now behold now, I perceive now that this is a holy man of God." Can I say tonight, my friend, in her spirituality, she recognized that this is a holy man of God. But can I say about the character of Elisha tonight, my friend? The Bible says that he was a holy man of God. And can I say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen? We need some holy men of God in our day. We need some holy men of God that are not afraid to preach against sin. We need holy men of God that are not afraid to stand for righteousness. My question is, tonight we know where the God of Elijah is, but where are the Elijahs of God? Can I say tonight, we see the character of this woman, of her spirituality, and then we see the willingness of her character. My friend, she saw this man of God coming by day after day and month after month. And no doubt she said, "Here, I tell you what," she said, "was a great woman, she constrained him to eat bread." And so it was as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. The willingness of her character. You know what she said? She said, "You know what, honey? This man of God, since he's come to town, there's been miracles helped in our town. There's been people saved in our town. This man of God has helped our town." Can I say tonight? She had a willingness character. You know what she said? "I want to do something for this preacher. I want to do something for this preacher." I see that this preacher, and if you go into the New Testament, Paul said there that he has gave unto you spiritual things. How much more should you give unto him carnal things? He's talking about taking care of the man of God. Can I say, she said, "I saw this preacher coming by, and I want to do something for him." I saw that tonight in here. That little thing he was talking about, that little thing he's got here. I don't know, he don't want me to tell nobody, amen. But I saw a person come in here tonight and said, "Preacher, I just want to be a blessing to you," and handed you a sack. Amen. That's what I'm talking about tonight. This woman said, "This preacher is helping my life. He's helping my husband. He's helping my family. And I'm going to be a blessing to this preacher." So she said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to cook him some cornbread," amen. Some of y'all young folks don't know what cornbread is. You know what cornbread is, brother? Amen. You looked at me kind of funny there, amen. Cornbread, amen. She said, "I tell you what, he's come by, and I'm going to bake him a little cake. I'm going to bake him some cornbread," amen. When she had a willing character, amen. Then I want to say this tonight. She had a character of sacrifice. Can I say this tonight, my friend? Can I say this tonight? When God saved me, March 14th, 1988, in a drug rehab center in Carrollton, Georgia, my pastor, that was my pastor then, Brother Ball, he had come by my house, and I was drunk in a trailer park, and he'd come by my house. Had that Bible come in my house and told me how to be saved. And I got saved, and the Holy Ghost told me there in that drug rehab center that I want you to go back and join that church of that man of God. And can I say, my friend, when God put me in that church, I never had really been in a church, never had been raised in a church. But you know what? God put our hearts together. And can I say, my friend, when I got in that house of God, there wasn't many people there when I came there in 1988, amen. There wasn't about 20 people in the whole church. And I saw the preacher. Preacher, I've been there myself. I've had to wear many hats as a preacher. You had to be the plumber. Amen, you gotta, amen, paint the building. You gotta, amen, sometimes, amen, do the carpet. I mean, you're just a jack of all trades. You gotta cut grass. Amen, you gotta climb up, clean out the gutters. You got to wear many hats. But you know what a preacher's always praying for? He's praying that somebody. My pastor told me this a few days later. Not a few days, but a few months later. He said, Doug, he said, I've been praying for months and years. He took the church in 1984. He said, I've been praying that God would send me somebody here to help me. You know what I began to do, Brother Shepherd? I just started cleaning the bathroom. I didn't want to do something for God. I'd go out on the yard, amen, start raking leaves, amen. Then I'd ask the preacher, is there something I can do around here? Sometimes we don't want to do something unless we got a title on it. I said this here last night. Jesus said, the greatest among you, let him be a servant.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? In a little while, I was trying to tell this brother yesterday. I've experienced this. In a little while, I'm not saying nothing about me. I'm just telling about God. God saved me. I got in the church. So I started working around the church. Started helping the preacher. All of a sudden, them old backslid Baptists in there started calling me. I was the preacher's boy.
Uh-huh. Right.
I was a brown noser. I was always following the preacher.
Right.
Getting real quiet in here. I wasn't a brown noser. I wasn't a preacher's boy, Brother Shepherd. I was just doing what I felt like God wanted me to do. I felt it was right, amen. I felt, amen, and I really got in trouble. And my pastor, amen, got in a burden, amen, about, well, let me tell you something about this church I went into. Just to give you a little background about it. When I went to that church, got saved in that church, they were giving my pastor $38 a week. He was working the job, though. He went lazy. He was working the job. But a few years after I went there, he felt like God, it was God's will for him to leave the public job and go full-time with that church. That church had never had a full-time pastor. That church had never taken on a missionary. He experienced trying to take on missionaries, and when he did, they had always voted down. You know what I began to see in there, Brother Bell? There were some people in there that claimed they loved God and claimed they loved Jesus. They wasn't on the same boat with the preacher. You know what they wanted? I don't know about here out in the West, but I tell you what they want in the South. They want a chicken-eating, heaven-preaching, homecoming-style singing church, and that's as far as they want to go. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. God didn't put the church here just to have homecomings. God didn't put the church here, amen, just to have Saturday night singings, amen. God put the church here to carry forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto a lost and a dying world. But I found a lot of them Baptists in there didn't want the church to grow. They wanted to keep the preacher at $38 a week. In that little building, this building right, well, this whole place right here is bigger than what we started in.
I've seen any pictures on it.
It's how it got. There was one man, the preacher preached, I'll never forget this. He preached on either crossing Jordan or being left behind.
Yes,
boy, that was a deacon, he got so mad, he called all the men. He said, I tell you what, y'all want to take him on? Praise God. I was the first one to raise my hand. I said, praise God. We need to give him a raise. What was happening is they had a bunch of money in there. I will never forget this. My wife is about to this. We was having outside bathrooms. We didn't even have inside bathrooms in the church. We had one water fountain. It was out there in a little vestibule thing, and it was kind of like a little thing to get out of the rain in. And I remember he called a man down there to do some bulldozer work. And he had that yard straightened out, and he said, I want you to take that bulldozer, and I want you to knock the front off of that church. I feel it. I see some of y'all staring at me. Well, who does he think he is? He's the pastor. See, what their problem was, they thought they had to vote on everything that took place in the house of God. There are times you may have to make decisions. But I'll tell you this. When he knocked the front off of that church, brother, there were some people got mad in there. They said, you have done messed our little church up. Now get this, my friend. You done messed our little church up. We're going to the bathroom outside. We got over $25,000 in the bank, and you're pulling teeth here to build two bathrooms on the front. But you know what happened? In a little while, God saved a drove of people in there. And when I got saved, and a few years, there's a lot of people got saved. And what happened, my friend, a grove of people come in there and got on board with the preacher. They wasn't on board with the two deacons. That's what was killing the church, those two deacons. They were smothering the life out of it. You know what? And I know there's a lot of family here. Don't get offended what I'm going to say right here. But you know what's wrong with a lot of churches? I'm talking about where I'm from.
Right.
No, I'm talking about this. Well, I know where I'm from. They're family owned and operated like a barbecue place since 1942. They got the same recipe, and they don't want nobody changing what they're doing. Oh, preacher, we've been like this all our life, and this is where we want to go. And you're going to die like that, too. But I tell you what happens. We took the preacher on, gave him $250 a week. In a little while, my friend, and let me tell you this about the offerings. On a good Sunday, they was only taking up like $200 on a good Sunday. When that church started getting right with God and started getting behind the man of God, took him on full time, them offerings went from $200 a week up to about, amen, about that time, about $1,700 a week. See, the money was already there. And you know what happened, my friend? God began to bless that church as it got behind the man of God. And you know what I raised my kids this. I said, I'll just be honest with you. There were some things going on that I didn't understand. I said, I thought everybody loved Jesus when I got saved. That's what I thought. I was naive, brother. I thought all these people was on board here. Something took place in there. I won't say what it is. But God gave me this verse about Joshua and Caleb. When that nevertheless crowd come back, there's 12 that went out, but there's only the 10 come back and said, we can't do this, preacher. Have you seen we look like grasshoppers in their sight over there?
Right.
And God told me this, standing in that church that day. You stay with the man of God. If he's right and he's following the book, he's doing what I'm saying, no matter how bad everybody else feels, I'm going to say like Joshua said, before it's me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua wasn't worried about everybody else's house. Joshua said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stick with the preacher, amen. I told my three girls, you want to have the hand of God or the blessings of God on your life, don't you ever turn your back on the preacher. As long as he's in that book and he's still right, amen, he's not messed up in his morals, he's not messed up in his money, he's not messed up in his doctrine, amen, nobody, what everybody else says, you stay with the preacher. God will bless your life. Amen, he has. He has blessed my life, amen. Hey, that same crowd that told me I was a brown noser, amen. I mean, brother, I mean, they would. I remember going to the hospital one time. And these people, you know, bless their heart, you know, Granny's in the hospital. It took 50 of them, amen, to hold Granny's hand up there in the hospital. I never understood that. Granny's got a nurse and a doctor, amen. What else she need, amen? That went over like a rock, too, amen. Yeah, they called me brown noser. I told a woman to her face one day. She said, yeah, you're the preacher's boy. You're the brown noser. I said, let me tell you something, ma'am. I'm not the preacher's boy and not a brown noser. But I was in church this morning. Where right. was you at?
Right.
I never heard about this either. When I was passing over Alabama, this is the stupidest thing I ever saw in my life. Y'all, I hope y'all don't have this out here. Decorating graves, amen. They take a day where they decorate graves. They call it Decoration Day.
Right.
I never heard of that. The Baptists got my mind bifocal because they're worshiping the dead and killing the living. Amen.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Amen. Boy, this is really going over like a rock right now. She had a willing character. She had a character of sacrifice. Now, this is where business really picks up. See, she went from fixing the preacher a cake. You know what it got into? It got into this.
Right.
Hey, can I tell you something tonight? When God saved you, he saved this too. Amen.
Amen.
He didn't save it. Let me rephrase that. But let me tell you something. The Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. He said, honey, this man of God has continually come by here. And we've cooked him bread. And we've let him stay in our house a little bit and sleeping on the couch and trying to rest as he comes through here. But she said, honey, let's do something a little bigger for the man of God. Notice what she said in verse 10. She said, let us. Let us, her husband and her, let us. Make a chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Can I say, my friend, what she saw is this man of God is continually coming by here. We see in his preaching and being on the word of God. And we see that he's tired in body, but let's give him a place that he can rest. You ever heard that term, prophet chamber? I believe that's where it came from right here. Amen. Why would he make a table and a stool for the man of God? He'd give him a candle for illumination and, my friend, a bed to rest in, a place where he can get still and quiet. I went back to that verse a while ago in the book of Acts. I read it to you for a purpose. What is his main purpose here? Well, his main purpose is to cut grass and do toilets and paint and do all that. No, it ain't. His main purpose, the reason he came here, is to, amen, to minister the word of God, amen. And don't get me wrong, I know Brother Bell, and he's probably cringing me saying this, but I'll say it. I'm not afraid to say it. Cleaning toilets ain't his job, but he will do it, I know. I know he's just that way. He'll do anything. And as a pastor, you'll have to do it, amen. But what I'm trying to get to tonight is he needs a little help. You say, preacher, there ain't many of us here. I know there ain't many of us here. And you may be doing all you can. But can I say tonight, my friend, from time to time, the preacher needs to know that there is somebody with me. Can I say tonight, she had a character of sacrifice. I'm going to preach for long. I just got one more point. I'm done. Brother Doug, what came out of all that the man of God was coming by? And she baked those cakes, and she was a help. Her and her husband was a help to the man of God. And they built a chamber for him there and tried to be a blessing to him. If you read down in this text tonight, we find that this couple didn't have a child. You think it's coincidence tonight that Elijah, the man of God, he took notice this couple, I see that I want you to bring her over here. And I believe Elijah already knew it. He said, bring this woman over here, and I want you to ask her, is there anything I can do for you? Right. She said, oh, man of God, I'd love to have a child. He said, I tell you what, about this time next year, you're going to have a child. She said, oh, man of God, don't lie to me. He didn't lie to her. Can I say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen? You're not going to go wrong individually. You're not going to go wrong as a church, amen, to help the man of God, to go alongside the man of God, and to be a blessing to the man of God. The blessing of helping the preacher. A little while later, she stood there with a baby in her arm. Hey, can I say this tonight? I believe this with all my heart because I practiced this. If you help take care of the man of God, God is going to take care of you. I saw it in the church. If the church will help take care of the man of God, God will take care of the church. Can I just confess something to you tonight? I knew when God told me to preach this morning, it's going to be tight as a hat band in here, and it is. It's real tight in here. But I can't help that. I'm just going to try my best to plow on through, but I'm telling you, God told me to preach this tonight. You know what? You might have saw me back there, Brother Bell. The devil said, these people ain't going to take this. But you know what? I'm going to be like God told Jeremiah, don't worry about their faces. I could have got up here tonight. I wanted to preach something about, amen, really, go another way tonight. Preach on heaven or something. But God said, no, we ain't going that way. If you don't do this, you're going to be in big trouble. Can I say this tonight, my friend? He ain't going to say it, but I'm going to say it for you. You know God sent you a gift to this church? A gift. A scriptural gift. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that God has given a gift unto the church. One of the gifts he gives unto the church is sitting right there, both of them. And, oh, little brother, where is he at? Amen. There he is. Amen. His family. You say, Brother Doug, what do you mean by that? Consider, my friend, that you were sitting out here on the side of nowhere. And I'm not saying that harshly. Praying that God would send you a preacher. And there he is right there. You know what he did? He wouldn't tell you this. But they, no doubt, if you don't mind me talking to your wife just a minute, my brother. No doubt, Sister Bell, you would probably rather be back in Kentucky tonight, amen, being with your family, being with your grandchildren. Could have been yesterday with her daddy celebrating his 75th birthday. But you know what they did? They sacrificed. They sacrificed. They said, I tell you what, Lord, we're not doing this for our glory. We're not doing this for us. We're doing it for you. And Lord, we're willing to lay all that aside to come out here to Midwest City, Oklahoma, and do what you have us to do. I saw something the other day. I hope you don't mind me saying this, my brother. God told me to really pray for you when I saw it. He said to put this thing on it. He says, I've been here 2 years and it's kind of lonely. It gets lonely as a preacher. It gets lonely as a wife. Well, can I say this tonight? The preacher a lot of times gets put in the limelight, but I tell you what tonight, I know this by experience. No preacher would be no good without a good wife behind him. You know, my wife could come in and say tonight, I don't want to be a preacher's wife no more. My ministry would be over. But you know what? I'm not bragging on my wife tonight. But I tell you what. You know what? I can thank God for my wife tonight. Every time I believe that I told her that here's what God wants us to do, I seen that look come on her face a little bit. But you know what she said? If that's what God told you to do, I'm willing to follow you.
Amen.
Not only that, preacher's kids. Let's just be real tonight. No doubt he'll probably like to be back in Kentucky, amen, with his brothers and sisters and all his friends and all that. Hey, I know. Hey, can I just talk to you from my heart tonight? I know what it is to go through another town. You don't know nothing about the town. You don't know nobody in the town. All you know is God told you to come to this church.
Amen.
And sometimes people around you, even in the church, won't understand. It's lonely. I'm talking about real life. I'm talking about where rubber meets the road. I'll ask you a question tonight. God told me to ask you this question tonight. And I'm done, Brother Bell, since I asked this. What's your purpose in this church? Why did God put you here? I'm afraid. Here's the average Baptist. Their thing about church is, I'm okay as long as I'm going Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But you know, tonight you can be a member of a church, but you're not involved in that church. You said, oh, but Brother Doug, I'm a member here. But what are you doing here? You say, well, we got a preacher, and if we have visitation, we can just send the preacher out on visitation. The preacher ain't supposed to do all the visitation. I'm going to say this tonight. You know, a lot of people in these days, or they're saying, you know, we're really having good service. Boy, we're having such a big crowd on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then by Wednesday night, it's really down to the bare minimum, the cream of the crop. They said, boy, that's good. You know, I'll say this tonight by experience. You know how you can judge a church tonight by its how many is really involved? I want you to come to its visitation. Oh, preacher, it don't matter. We just come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. What about visitation? I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you really have a burden for the people that are outside these four walls? Do you have a burden for the lost tonight, for souls, for men, women, boys, and girls that are going to hell tonight without God? You say, preacher, tonight, you say, preacher, I got all this going on. I got my job. I understand. We got to work. I understand that. I'm not belittling that. A man's got to work. He's got to take care of his family. But I'll say this tonight. If you're working so much that you can't be involved in your church, you're working too much. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, I preached exactly what you laid on my heart tonight. Lord, I ask you to take it, Lord, and use it, multiply it, speak to the hearts of this people. I didn't come here intentionally to hurt nobody, Lord. I come here to preach exactly what you laid on my heart. And Lord, if they tell me to go home tonight, I go home preaching the last three messages that I preached here in the will of God, doing what you exactly told me to do. Speak to hearts tonight, Lord. Help this church. Help this man of God. Help these other men of God in here. Lord, if we get men of God to stand here tonight, they would tell you they need help. Help us, Lord, to be a help to the man of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.